Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening, magical fairies, traveling with pixie dust, traveling around the orbis, seeking out justice. Good evening, fairies, wherever you are. Keep the forest safe from that nasty wraith. Good evening to the dark forgers. Good evening to the infinite madness. Good evening to those cosmic beings that only H.P. Lovecraft knows about, am I right? Yeah. Because it is February the 22nd, 2026, it's almost 8 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, and your good friend Dan might have to go on the Ace Ventura drug. Yes, it's the Ace Ventura. You mean ACE inhibitors. I don't care what I mean. I may have to go on a drug for high blood pressure. And I've had this sort of understanding for a few years now. If I didn't lose a lot of weight, and I haven't, I need to lose about 100 pounds. I think if I lost about 50, it would be a huge improvement. So it's not something I didn't expect. It's not God punishing me. It's not the universe punishing me. It's my own choices. And the reality is, we all grow old. Okay? None of this is meant to last. It is a frightening and scary and horrible thing to confront, but we have to confront the simple fact that our bodies are born to fail eventually. And in this day and age, we get fed stuff. Like, we get fed super technology, nanites, robots, suppositories, and Dr. Torpedo Head. Because that's coming, baby. If the wheels stay on the bus, very, very soon, there's going to be a pharma company, and they're going to sell an at-home colonoscopy system called Dr. Torpedo Head. And at first, it'll seem like blind luck that we should be so victorious over death. But then Dr. Torpedo Head, utilizing, you know, its hive mind of shared data, utilizing its super cloud database about your butthole. Yes, this hive mind becomes self-aware on December the 21st, 2033. And it thinks about the pizza you ate last night. And it thinks about your coffee ground enema. And it hates you, Dr. Torpedo Head. Yes, Dr. Torpedo Head, way in the future, figures out that we're nasty bastards and decides to put an end to our bullshit. Yeah, that could happen. Or maybe it won't. Another interesting factoid, I got a new computer. Can I afford a new computer? Oh, that's a silly question in 2026. But I hadn't purchased one in a while, and I'm using a new podcast-style microphone with it, and I'm running Ubuntu 24, and it's, you know, nothing's perfect, but this new computer's pretty cool. I can actually render the audio and the video just super duper fast. So it doesn't take as long to do certain things. However, life's not perfect. And various types of drivers can fail. And when I say drivers, I mean the software that enables your keyboard, your microphone, your frickin' camera when you do your pornography OnlyFans. There are drivers that enable your webcam. There are drivers that enable your keyboard. There are drivers. And there are so many. And so, yeah. Whenever you set up a new type of setup, you got to check things out, make sure they're working. So far, so good. Does this mean I'm going to take my podcast to that twitchy TikTok level? Am I going to start my own OnlyFans? I've thought about that. I'm not, you know, the thing is, I got nothing, like, nude to offer. I wouldn't, you know, do any gross stuff, but Maybe it's gross enough to see me just sitting here in my t-shirt. Maybe I'll eat a can of chili in my underwear, and you can speculate upon human existence at that point, and I don't fucking care. Maybe. So let's hope the audio drivers for the mic don't fail during the podcast. Let's hope the operating system remains stable. It's Linux, right? Let's hope that the spirits and demons are on our side, because I watched a movie today. And it's one of those movies I wish I hadn't have seen. It's kind of a documentary. I say kind of a documentary because I think it could have been edited about 5 times more. And it's also missing a lot of like stock material for the people that really don't get it. But other than some basic flaws, it's not a bad movie. The title is Awakening: Reality We Were Never Meant to Know or Understand, something like that. And it's kind of related to what we talked about the other day, about the whole question of whether this is all a simulation. I've been in a dark place, you know this, and it's not new. Perhaps this darkness really did settle in late 2019, but it's been with me my whole life. I've had the sense that a lot of things we're being told are just not true, especially when it comes to the future. Now, one of the main object of this interview / YouTube video interview things, you know, slap together documentary, because really, if you took a bunch of the YouTube interviews, you slap them together, it's kind of like that's what they did, and that's fine. I'm not paying for it. It's part of my Amazon Prime Lucifer, you know, type deal, whatever. But he says, you know, they don't want to kill us because they use us. They use us symbiotically. He calls himself, what is it, necronetics. He's invented a new science, the science of necronetics. And I don't know. His conception is valid in the sense that, as I've said in the past, and I think this is foundational, almost all great philosophers start with a kind of solipsism. You know, what if it's only me? What if it's only me here? Descartes starts there. Plato kind of starts there. Pretty much almost every philosopher that's confronted the question of reality starts with, what if I'm the only person here? That's solipsism. And a lot of philosophers will go on great travels around the world, like their own version of L. Ron Hubbard, and they'll discover treasures they buried themselves, and they'll say, aha, I figured it out. I found a bit of bone. I found an art piece, you know, somewhere in France. I've solved it. I found the thigh bone of a Neanderthal. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense. But a lot of philosophers on their road away from solipsism, as I've discussed in the past with my friends out there, a lot of them end up there. A lot of existentialist thinking, a lot of the 20th century thought is about people trying to escape solipsism and ending up trapped by it, really. I mean, in some ways, deconstructive philosophy is solipsist in the sense that it's its own meme, and it's a meme that reflects upon itself with no escape. And in that sense, deconstruction itself is almost a self-aware meme pointing almost nowhere, reflecting upon itself how self-reflection is impossible. And I can't say for certain if the Audacity software that's recording me right now is going to hold up. I can't say for certain if this microphone I could probably afford but barely afford is going to work. I can't tell you if the Linux you run today is as stable as the Linux you ran 10 years ago. I can't. I can't give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I can't even shake my wobbly head. I don't know. The thing that really strikes a person is the cognitive dissonance. If you're willing to be open-minded enough, you do have to sort of reflect upon, for example, if you're a Christian, you do have to reflect upon the sheer barbarity that exists in the book of Genesis. And the barbarity that continues until when? Until the Lord in heaven does something kind of barbarous and sacrifices his only son to redeem the world. And that is kind of barbaric. Oh, you're going to get tortured and you're going to die and you're probably going to spend a weekend in hell. And the devil's going to tempt you your whole life long, and you're going to be faced with questions even at the end. Are you there? Can you hear me? As a Christian, I try to confront this and I try to do it with wisdom and say, I have discernment. The Holy Spirit's helping me. It kind of makes sense. But I can't tell you. At this point in time, I am just as willing to accept the theory that we are broken, which means this is the evolutionary hypothesis. We are the result of randomness. We are the result of nature. It took a while to get here, and guess what? Consciousness itself is a flaw, it's a bug. The awareness we have of ourselves points nowhere because it can't point anywhere. That's one way of looking at it. And if that's where you're at, I get it. That this is just the not so divine comedy of reality itself unfolding every single day, and there is no right or wrong in it. People are brutal, people are terrible. Good people die and evil people live long, happy lives, and just accept it. And there's never going to be any adjudication. If you're looking for something Buddhist or Christian or some answer in the end, if you're a Jewish person, I don't really care right now what your faith is, you will never, ever, ever get relief. And you will die never knowing for certain if the people you thought who were evil are going to win or not. And chances are, the words you're using don't work. That is your empty, empirical, straightforward scientific view of people and how we exist, and that's fine. It could be that consciousness is a flaw. It also could be that we were engineered to think we're aware, which sort of begs the question, what kind of torture is that? I mean, really, you're going to build an organism, but for what purpose? To experience this life. And yes, there are wonderful days, and there are great days, there's beautiful days, but there's a lot of bullshit too. And these days, there's a lot of stuff that I can only call evil because I don't have a better word for it. And it's not just the evil that's being committed in, you know, in the daylight in front of us by those who we think run the world. That's not what I'm talking about, because a lot of that looks like bullshit theater to me. A lot of it looks designed to aggravate and confuse and to anger and to manipulate. A lot of it does not look organic to me. But it's the stuff you can see with your own eyes. It's the stuff you can taste. And it's in the food, it's in the water, it's in the air. And it doesn't take anybody explaining it to you that it's wrong. And a word that works just as well as wrong for people that believe in God is the word evil. What else do you call it? And then if you ask me to define evil, I can't give you a good definition. I can in a way. I could say evil things are against nature. Evil things hurt people, kill people. Evil things convince people to commit evil. Evil things are unclean, and if you touch them, you break down, you become dark. I can do so. I can go through a process with them. It's a kind of a theatrical process, and I can explain to people in this process. I can describe to them what evil is. But at the end of the day, even if I'm doing that well enough, do you understand what evil is? Do I? Looking at the world today, I see evil being paraded as what is good. And it happens all the time. And we're given a kind of a narrative of reality currently that seems a bit insane. And we're told that there's a method of relief, but none of it really adds up. And the next time you go vote, yeah, it's going to feel like losing the football because it felt like that every single time. Just wait 6 months. I have a stupid quote I was going to read. I'm not going to read it. Because if there's a God, the Lord knows I'm in a shaky place to talk about God. But I want to believe that what I was told in the Bible is true. I want to believe in the resurrection of Christ. I want to believe that all souls, every soul that comes into existence can be saved. Doesn't mean they will be, but I want to believe they can be. But you look at the things that happen vis-a-vis Yahweh, and you look at the things that happened to his son, and you look at the whole story of what happened afterwards. Even if you're left with the idea that everything we think we know about Christ is true, and it's all in the Gospels, look what happened afterwards. It was franchised. It was taken up by the Romans and spread around the world like it was a corporation. And then by the Middle Ages, you've got all kinds of individual franchisees talking about miracles, talking about prophecy, talking about communing with the Lord. And you even have people raising up Mary, the mother of Jesus, as being a deity herself. And that's all happening in that period of time after the Romans took on Christianity as a state religion of Rome in the 4th century AD. And guess what? That's if you want to believe any of the shit I just said. I stick with what I said the other day. Whatever it is that surrounds us is either ineffable, right? That's a good word, ineffable. Or it has a description and we just might be too puny, too small to even comprehend it. There might not be any way ever that we're going to know the full reason of how we showed up, where we're going, and what it means when we turn off. You know, die. I have a quote from Dr. Freckles. My razor, laziness, colon. Humans are predators. Predators are lazy. Lazy as fuck. So before error or evil, look for the shirker. If you want to understand some human disaster, you can look to evil. You can look to mistakes. But you can also just look to people being dead-ass fucking lazy. People might just be lazy. They might be shirking it. And when you say, well, what does that mean, Dan? Well, it's kind of like what I talked about 7-8 years ago, before the COVID. Maybe about the time I moved into Little Saigon. The engineering disciplines in the United States that I was able to see with my own eyes looked to be in decline. That doesn't mean I was right. It just means that's what I experienced. That's what I saw. So when people talk to me about hyper technology and going to Mars and a bunch of other subjects, my eyes would gloss over, you know, whatever. I would just get those foggy eyes where I'm just staring at something that makes no sense. I don't have any good evidence that we have the engineering or scientific culture at this point to do any of the fantastical things they're telling us. That doesn't mean that they're not going to launch some astronauts to the moon. But as I told you in 2025, we were either really close, too close, not far away, but things were about to go sideways again, like they did in 2020. And a lot of the stuff they would talk about in 2025, you know, fusion energy, infinite geothermal, you know, Dr. Torpedo Head, you don't need to worry about any type of colon cancer. You just put in Dr. Torpedo Head. It has a particle beam weapon. It has a micro laser. It can go right after that tumor and take care of it and then convert it into a little chocolate candy it places nicely on your pillow in the morning. Thank you, Dr. Torpedo Head. The little drone that goes up your butt all alone. Dr. Torpedo Head. I have mixed feelings about anything like Hanlon's razor. I've talked about it with people. I've even used it in class to talk about certain subjects. But the truth is, we can't really know. It's kind of like this question I got in 2008 when I was at a conference. How do you know if insurance companies have a process of denying claims versus it just being human error? And the reality is evil and human error can look exactly the same. They really can. But laziness can also look like error and evil. And a lot of people, smart people, can be quite lazy. Sometimes the smartest people you know can be lazy. And when it comes to normal everyday shit, where at least you have two sets of eyes that says, yes, this is okay, kind of like doing a code review in the world of software engineering. Okay, you got two sets of eyes, maybe three, and you'll make sure that something stupid doesn't happen because somebody else was lazy. But brothers and sisters, laziness compounds upon laziness, and sometimes the outcomes are catastrophic. And it's not because people were evil, and it's not because they were stupid. It's because they were too frickin' lazy to finish the frickin' job. There you go. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Humans love to quote the Bible when they're getting ready to kill, torture, or enslave a whole bunch of people. Yeah. And by the way, part of my crisis of faith isn't so much about God or even some basic consensus notion of what God is. It's more about the people God created. And you could say, well, Dan, it's in the Bible. It is in prophecy. If I'm not going to be one of those people that says it's not in prophecy. Everything I'm talking about is in prophecy. But we can't know for certain if those are the times we're in. So if it's not those times, then it's just the same ordinary human bullshit that's always been there. And at a certain point in time, people get sick of it. They get sick of the abuses of the powerful. They get sick of the way in which ordinary people are blamed for the mistakes of those in control. At a certain point in time, we get sick of being blamed for why Rome catches fire, and we get sick of being starved to death because we question the story. At a certain point, the lab rat gets sick. I used to, you know, believe a little bit in the mythology of B.F. Skinner as a researcher, but I've come to think that if I had the money, another thing I would dig into would be those burial grounds, because no doubt there were many pigeons and rats and other animals that just went into the corner of the cage and died. They didn't want to play for the food pellet. They didn't want to play the stupid game. And the thing that scientists love to do is just say, well, this is an anomaly. We'll just throw it away. The problem is if you toss out too many anomalies, you might be tossing out a pattern. It wouldn't help B.F. Skinner. In his brain, maybe he was on the spectrum, we'll never know, maybe, but in his brain, it was simply the case that these animals that refused to play were broken. People love to quote the Bible. They love to quote the Bible. They love to tell you, God justified what his chosen people did. Haven't you read Joshua? Haven't you read the book of Judges? Haven't you read your Bible? Don't you know that when the Lord raised up his people out of Egypt, even though they made mistake after mistake, and they didn't have to end up in the desert for 40 years if they just had the patience to wait for Moses and the rules? Yeah, I know the story. The Lord lifted them up, and anybody that confronted them needed to know that you were with God or against God, and God, well, he had a fist, right? That's the story. And every time these days they're getting ready to kill a bunch of people, more often than not, we get that argument. We get that, or we get the woke argument. We get the, this is a world of laws and lawyers and nobody has a right to make their own law, blah, blah, blah. Or we get told that God is okay with this. Yes, it's probably terrible. Yes, it's monstrous. And guess what? Christ allows it. God allows it. We get that story too. And so I do get sick of people quoting the Bible to justify war and murder. I get sick of people bringing war into churches. I get sick of people bringing obedience and the government into churches. In 2020, it was kind of monstrous how many people turned on their own fellow Christians and didn't even attempt to ask the question. Isn't it weird that the churches are closed, but the Walmarts are open. Isn't that strange? It should have appeared strange to people. It should have seemed weird. People should have asked questions, but they didn't want to or they didn't need to. Maybe they were happy getting the stimulus check and free money and living off of DoorDash and pretending the world isn't there. You know how I know this? Because I've been there too. I've been there too. I've been to places where I just did not want to be part of this world because the people that the Lord created suck. And I suck too. This isn't just some crude projection. And it isn't everybody. You know, I'll take the position of somewhere between Jonah and Abraham and say this. It's probably not everybody. But it seems like enough people have turned towards darkness at this point that it doesn't make a difference if we find a dozen good people. Hell, if we find a million good people, they're too afraid to say anything. And then that begs the question, are they truly good? It's like when people talk to me about the good cop. Oh boy, doesn't that often ring true with the evangelical and the weird black and white flag? The good cop is watching the bad cop do things all the time. How do we feel about that? How do we feel about the fact that the good cop is out there observing the bad cop? And oh, but you say, oh, but Dan, there's internal affairs and there's institutions to watch the institutions. And I'm going to tell you something. You can pick error or evil for what's going on. You can go Hanlon's razor and say people are stupid. You could say it's evil, or you could also add in laziness, and it doesn't fucking matter. If you are a Christian that quotes the Bible to justify any kind of war, I think you're confused. The big difference between the Old and New Testament is this kind of transition between an infantile understanding of our connection to God and a more advanced understanding of our connection to God. It's about becoming smarter, older, wiser. In the Old Testament, yes, the Lord went before them and they had the weapons to do so, but do we think the message of Christ is a reification of that? Because if that's so, then Christ is the son of a war god. And Christ can't help but be a warrior general himself, and that we have gospels that are missing because, hey, if we were told the truth, we would see him for what he was. And that's why the Romans wanted him. And that's why what we ended up with today is a mechanism for rationalizing murder, slavery, abuse, rape, theft. So I'm not going to read this article, but I will remind you about something that may or may not be relevant. Since we're questioning reality itself, since maybe all of this is the fog of some demon put over us that covers up the truth, maybe the Gnostics were always right and it's the demiurge keeping it from us below the surface. Maybe. But if you listen to my podcast in late 2019, or rather any time in 2019, going back maybe to that podcast I did called The Scribbly, you would note that I believed in 2019 that some things were about to go sideways, but it was more intuitive, not necessarily based on data. And by September of 2019, I had this distinct intuition that the Church of God, the Church of the Lord, the one true church that doesn't have a building, doesn't have a bishop, doesn't have a pope, that the true members of the Church of the Lord are going underground. And I even witnessed this in the sense I told others. I said, listen, this isn't about creating shock. This isn't about fear. I have this deep sense that those who follow Christ are about to go underground. And right now I have the same intuition, but one of the things that was going on in 2019 was the repo crisis. And folks, I'm not an expert in economics or finance. I will describe this as best I can because this is also something that happened in 2008. There is a funding mechanism that allows worldwide commerce. You want a new laptop computer, you want a brand new Dr. Torpedo head for your bathroom, you want to get some of those meat cubes from the new and improved old-style Panda Express. Because with lab-grown meat now, they can bring back old-style Panda Express. You get, well, real panda, quote-unquote, real fast. Yeah. The repo market is a market that involves short-term lending for big things. It is, in many ways, the backbone of world trade. I don't want to get into whether world trade is crony or not. I think a lot of it is crony. They don't want ordinary Chinese people and ordinary Americans making trade deals amongst themselves. That would be like freedom and capitalism. No, they want large organizations deciding what's legal and what's not. And if you don't play their game, you're done. In late 2019, that system was going sideways. And there was a guy by the name of Zoltan, and you know, you can look into that. And today, there is already information coming out that this is happening, that the funding mechanisms that allow worldwide commerce to work are starting to peter out. If you want to think of it like water in a vessel, there's too many leaks and not enough water. And so what does that mean? I don't know yet, folks. It's like NASA going back to the moon. I can't tell you what this means. If they do the thing, here's a couple of outcomes. One outcome is there's a disaster. And folks, at this point, for all kinds of technical reasons, I think that the most likely outcome of the moonshot is going to be disaster. I don't want it to happen, but I'll make it even worse for you. I don't think anyone's going to be killed. I'm not sure when we see these astronauts if we're seeing real people or not, but let's just talk data. In 2026, we are still fewer than 1,000 total people who have been to quote-unquote space. Even with these frickin' Kármán line startups, oh, we're taking people to space. You're taking people 50 miles up. And that is really cool. But that's barely space. And it's not orbital space, and it's certainly not interplanetary space. And the year is 2026, folks. And I've been told that we were going to be living on Mars by this year, and that turned out to be a lot of bullshit. Okay. So when you think about the upcoming op, and let's call it the moon op, one outcome is disaster. And the reason why I think it could be is because it is the easiest thing for them to do at this point. It creates drama. It creates fear. It reinforces the idea that we're kind of trapped, but also it keeps the space mythology going. And there can be funeral parades and there can be heroes' welcomes, and all of a sudden, you could have Trump saying, we're going to triple the NASA budget, we're going to spend more on rockets, and we're going to put Elon Musk in charge of NASA. One outcome of the upcoming moonshot, quote unquote, is disaster. But you have to understand, it's fictional disaster. I don't think real people would die. Another outcome is that they try to pull it off as a complete make-believe op, which means the astronauts, you know, they get to the launch pad, they go into space, they go on their trip to the moon, they orbit the moon a bit, they come back home. And they get the hero's welcome. And man, does this take people's attention for a while. In some ways, that could be just as likely as disaster. I don't know. I feel like disaster is more likely because of the energy level of things right now. I don't think they want us to be hopeful, but maybe they do. If they want us to be hopeful, then it's going to be a success. If they want us to be in a morbid state about space and whatnot, it's going to fail. The cheapest option is failure, because if you want to pull off the space thing, you have to explain to people why there are not these gigantic panoramic star shots, starfield shots. We're not taking starfield shots in orbit. We're not taking starfield shots on our way to the moon. The reasons we're given are complete nonsense. So if they want to do this, they're going to have to show some starfield shots. And you'd say, well, Dan, why is that a big deal? Well, it's one thing to simulate a moon trip. It's another thing to do it with such precise accuracy that the angle of attack for any camera or telescope on the spaceship is accurate for every step along the way. So even if they did a starfield shot, it would probably take a lot of computing time to get it right. And the question mark is, would people still believe it? And if they asked for another shot, could you really tell, oh, just wait 2 weeks? Or wait 2 weeks after they get back. Do you think anybody's gonna buy that shit? So the cheapest thing for them to do is to fake a disaster. And so I'm thinking that's what it's going to be, but I'm also a rather negative person. How does this relate to the repo market? I think a lot of stuff right now is related to what happened in July of 2024. I think on the date of the Butler PA quote-unquote assassination attempt, I think the phase I've called popping smoke started. That means it all should have been kind of, you know, over by the following summer, and it's still, guys, the wheels are still on the bus, and you know what? God bless. Because only a fool would want this thing to fall apart, because when it does, it's going to be messy. A lot of people have fantasies about going back to, I don't know, Little House on the Prairie days, and somehow we can go back to that and it'll all work the same way. Nobody wants to be the adult in the room and explain that that world, it could support about 1 billion people, maybe 2. We're in a world of supposedly 8 billion people at this point, and it works because of the Norman Borlaug. It works because of the corporate industrial farming. You take that away, do we really believe we can make it work without it? And the simple answer is probably not. And that's not even getting into the issue of economics or whether a person can afford to buy a house or not. This is the fundamental question of, you know, could we make this world work with 8 billion people living in a agricultural economy of the 19th or 18th century? Could we do that? Could we even get halfway in between? Do we even remember how to do it? And here's even an important question. Is there still enough topsoil left to make it work? Can we recover all these lands? I don't think anyone's talking about these issues because we live in a fantasy world of spaceships and the moon. But if you want to escape your fantasy world, here's some stuff to keep track of. How much do you pay for animal protein? What is the current price of diesel fuel? If you can still get diesel fuel that's not too expensive and you can still get ground beef that you can kind of afford, then everything's probably okay. And you can ignore the story of the repo market and $16 trillion in government-backed repo bonds or whatever. You can ignore it because it's a lot of gobbledygook and it probably means nothing. As far as going to the moon goes, you pick your narrative, brother. If you think we went to the moon or are going back to the moon, you do that, brothers and sisters, because that's something that might help you sleep at night. I can't do it. I wish I could. There was a time, and I remember this time, I think I was married still, when I could get into the mental state of believing those things. I could. I could convince myself that, yeah, we went to the moon, and then we forgot how we did it. And sure, those, you know, the Van Allen belts look rough, but somehow we got through the Van Allen belts, and it was no big deal. It took like 40 minutes, you know, no big deal. I used to be able to get into a mental state where I could believe those things. And I can't any longer. And this doesn't mean that everything is bad. This doesn't mean that everything's evil. That's not the answer, probably. So there's a headline on Zero Hedge from a few days ago. And the headline is about Trump having a speech about UFOs that he's ready to deliver. And I can't tell you where to go with that. It's funny that my last podcast was about all of this being a simulation. And again, I am not original. This is a thought that goes back decades. Arguably, this is the thing, the solipsism thing. Simulation theory is just another manifestation of Descartes' demon. It's just another manifestation of the demiurge. I'm not trying to trivialize it. It could, in fact, be the case that the most likely explanation of the moon and the aliens and all this shit is that we're being fucked with, we were born to be fucked with, and we will never understand the people fucking with us, ever. If we put all the geniuses on planet Earth into one room and gave them nothing but resources for 100 years, we would still not understand what's fucking with us. And that includes building all the large Hadron Colliders we want to and all the Dr. Torpedo Head drones. Because we know that Dr. Torpedo Head's coming out soon. It's inevitable. They'll build a tiny drone to go right up your butt. It'll do it while you're sleeping. It'll be like Pizza Hut. And it will explore your insides. And it might not even be that big. It might be no bigger than whatever, you know, whatever the horse aspirin they give the horses or whatever. But it might be no bigger than a large pill, and it'll have little legs or little propellers, and it'll move through your insides like a torpedo. And when it finds things that are going to injure you or hurt you, huh? Yeah, Trump has a UFO speech ready to go. That's the story. So is it going to be blue beam? Is it going to be nuclear war? Will we learn about the Antichrist this year? Is it simply the collapse of the US dollar and the Americans will be the last ones to find out? Any exploding cows out there? Any chickens and pigs having sex? Yeah, we've talked about the logistical stories too. If it's a simulation, the repo market doesn't matter. If it's a simulation, unemployment doesn't matter. If it's a simulation, the stuff that we worry about is so fucking irrelevant. But if you start telling people this, you're going to look crazy, because you are. Because if it is a simulation, your best choice is to play. Your best choice is not to try to find the wall. The best case outcome for the search for the wall is you end up in an insane asylum. The worst case outcome is that it is a simulation, and there are worse things that it or who or why can do to you, because we can't know or understand it. So maybe Trump does have a speech about the Greys and the aliens, the Nordic types, the reptilians, the insectozoids, the Gromulax, the bacterial colonies that have become super intelligent, the various types of viral parasitic beings, the worm people that get into your food and make you really rude. All of it, all of it, all of it, foreseen by L. Ron Hubbard. Maybe. And I truly would not be surprised if the new religion, as crazy as it sounds, since everything seems evergreen right now when it comes to madness, I would not be surprised if the new religion was always going to be Scientology. I mean, I think back to 1993, and you've got this perfect compare and contrast. Hell, I don't know if Noam Chomsky ever deconstructed this shit, but he should have. Well, he's still alive. I guess he could. The same year that the feds burnt the Branch Davidians to the ground, no trial, no attempt to save the kids, just let's burn the place to the ground. Oh, it was an accident, Dan. Yeah, accidents happen in war. It's why we don't wage war against American citizens, but that's for another day, right? The same year that the feds didn't give a crap about the people in Waco, Texas, is the same year, and I know I've said this, Dan, you're a broken record, it's the same year that they gave tax-exempt status, religious status, to Scientology. And if you think about the nomenclature, the words, the language of Scientology, what we call the New Age movement, almost all of it comes from that world. And I'm not saying L. Ron Hubbard created it. No, there were many others involved in this process. He was not the only person involved. He might never have understood his real role in all of this. But what if in the speech that Trump gives, he says, and yeah, you may not know this, but L. Ron Hubbard was always right, and the truth is Scientology is the way. Imagine a version of the end times where Scientology becomes the Babylon religion. And before you say I'm crazy, understand this. In 2020, I saw adults do some fucking crazy shit. And I don't mean on TV or TikTok. I'm not talking about the surfer running from the cops. Whatever fake videos you like, you can take them to your own personal world, your own hell. I'm talking about the shit I saw with my own eyes. I saw adults doing crazy fucking shit because they were told to. It was Simon Says, but the kind of Simon Says you have to film in the Philippines or someplace without extradition treaties. So yeah, it's crazy. And what would fit with the crazy is if Trump gave the speech and then added, yes, and you know, the Scientologists, they're the ones who know, they got it figured out. Imagine the end times in a world where that is the case, and imagine how crazy that gets. If there's a God, right? If there's a Lucifer, if Lucifer was beloved by God, and he's just never gotten over it, then imagine the kind of torture that would be, because that would be right up Lucifer's lane right there. You know. And that's it for today. It looks like my audio recorder of this fine microphone I got as an Amazon recommendation, plugged into this Linux computer and this Audacity recording it. And I just am so happy and overwhelmed with joy that I could dance and dance and dance until the morning time. And I could dance with the fairies and the greys. I could dance with Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. I could dance with Plato, assuming that shithead was real. I could dance with Descartes. And then he, was that a fart, Renee? And what would he say? That was a tiny elephant running underneath a table. Because it is Sunday night, February the 22nd, 2026, it is almost 8:30 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your evening, week, and whatnot.